see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Women are like, oh yeah, you like are a software engineer, like dime a dozen, whatever. And then now it's like there are all these women around America who are like, oh my god, like I use Venmo.
This is John uses Venmo.
Yeah.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon. Hey guys, welcome back to me and welcome back to all of you to my life. I've returned from my grand tour of Europe, and absence just really makes the heart grow fonder. I missed you all so much. Thank you all for the Wilhelmina model comments on my Instagram. It kept everyone, especially Jordan, very fresh in my mind while I was trying to relax and eat pasta. And meanwhile, Emma heard I was coming back and decided to go to Portugal. So I'm on my own this week while she Instagrams against tile walls, and she's much better Instagram than me. It's fine. But fortunately, I'm joined by Kate Dries, who has recapped with us before, and she's an editor and writer in New York. Thanks for joining me.
It's so great to be back. Thanks, Claire.
And she actually just moved yesterday, so truly, like, real commitment.
Yeah, I was in the car, and my boyfriend was like, okay, Google Maps says that we'll be home 3 minutes before the show starts. We were home like 2 minutes after, but so I don't know what happened in the first 2 minutes. So please tell me.
I would be hyperventilating if that happened to me. I'm really not easy to live with.
How did you watch in Europe, though?
I didn't.
You didn't?
I didn't watch. I watched when I got back.
So you caught up yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I caught up and I listened to the podcast.
Right.
And
make sure, like,
read the articles.
Right. You know what the commentary was.
Yeah.
Who's where.
I also would wake up like in the middle of the night in Rome or something and have a text on my phone that's like, can you believe this shit about Lincoln? And I was like, I don't know what's happening. But I read up on the shit about Lincoln, so missed a lot of cool
stuff. Good,
I
don't have to let you know.
Oh, God. We don't have to talk about it. And so what happened in the first 2 minutes? Let's get started. They're in Vegas.
Right.
They really leaned on some sort of jazzy old-time like movie mood setting in the Vegas section. There's a sort of vibe like Becca is the star of like some sort of 1950s film.
I mean, I guess that's better than the alternative Vegas thing, which is just like clubbing and like,
or like a bunch of bros going Vegas baby
right.
every 5 minutes, which
tequila
is also
shots
what it was.
And like disturbing pools of like unknown origin.
I've never been to Vegas, but the latter is what I think of when I think of Vegas.
I also have never been to Vegas. I think I would actually go for the pools. Apparently they're amazing.
I have seen Instagrams of pools there that looked fine, but always in front of the pools are my friends looking very hungover. So that kind of like sets the tone for me. It's a place where you go to like be by a nice pool and feel miserable, basically.
Yeah.
And literally the guys could not stop yelling Vegas baby. I should have counted. I thought they were all over like 10 minutes into the episode and then someone yelled it again.
You'd think that none of them had ever been before when this seems like, not to be stereotypical, a group of men who will probably have been familiar with the location.
They were probably all like, oh, yeah, it's my favorite casino. Like, that hot bartender I always hook up with is right over there. Things go south.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, Salt Lake City doesn't really have the same, like, what are you supposed to say? Like, ooh, Salt Lake City.
Or is it, what, where, I missed, they were in Park City?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
Is there a thing about Park
sorry
City?
Sorry if you're from Utah.
All basically the same to us. And I don't really understand gambling, so there are a lot of gambling puns that I didn't get. Let's just bypass all of that.
Oh, yeah, I don't even think I picked up on them.
Yeah, Jason was like, I think my odds for one-on-one are, like, plus 125. And I was like, I don't know what that means, but it doesn't seem possible. Like, it doesn't seem real to me.
Also, then he was wrong.
Yeah. Well, there's always, as Nate Silver would tell us, there's always a chance that you're wrong, and that is accounted for in your 98%
probability. Yeah, you should get Nate on here.
I think we've had people from 538 on, which is fun, but, you know, Nate is
busy.
Too busy.
Busy.
Incorrectly predicting elections. So first one-on-one goes to Colton, which should surprise no one except for Jason. The date card says, let's ride into the sunset. Really weak date cards lately. And I don't know if you noticed this, but as the car carrying him towards Becca rolled down the street, we get a close zoom in on a sign for Virgin River.
Oh, my God, I did not. Thank you for telling me that. So I was like, oh, I'm not going to watch this season. It's going to be so liberating. Finally going to have a break. And then I was emailing with some friends at Deadspin, and they realized that there were three men who were, like, two NFL players, as we know, and then one guy who is now gone, who's a football analyst. Yeah. And they were like, oh, do you want to watch, like, write about the sports angle for Deadspin? And I was like, okay. So Colton is
at bylines.
Yeah, so Colton is at this point literally the only one I'm paying attention to because Clay has gone home and Mike has also gone home.
Right.
So I thought that I would write about him for today, but, like, nothing, I don't know, it was not really exciting enough to write about. I was hoping for the Virgin reveal.
And they teased I thought it was such intense foreshadowing, but they are foreshadowing it in previous episodes now. Like, it's clearly going to happen later in the season.
Yeah.
Also, a great sports angle with Colton is that he used to date Allie Raisman.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure he was talking about her on this date.
See.
Or how does the timeline work out?
So I was thinking about this. So on the date, he says that he's only been in love once and that she broke up with him, right? Those are, like, the actual facts we get from him talking about it.
He says it was, like, a year ago.
Oh, he said that.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I really was, like, in one ear, out the other with everything last night. So I'm not, like, the best guest right now.
Like, incredibly dumb.
I love, my favorite thing about him is that he smiles through everything he says, even if it's serious, which is just a personality type of a person that is like, oh, God, that just must fuck their light bulb a lot. I guess it could have been Allie. I sort of wonder if, like, because she's the person we know he dated, that we assume, like, there was this thing going on a few weeks ago, I think, where people were saying that she has, like, in her book, like, a unsavory anecdote about a guy she dated who was a pro sports guy. And everyone was like, oh, that must be Colton. And I was like, we actually don't really have enough data on any of this.
It was also weird. I remember looking at that passage on Twitter, and the way it described the length of the relationship didn't match at all. Like, she and Colton dated for months and, like, went to public events
together.
Right,
and that was, like, one date or something.
And they, like, barely hung out and, like, were not in public together. So I was like, oh, so it can't be Colton.
Yeah, the thing about last night when he says the in love thing is that he says he was broken up with, and, I mean, maybe this was just, like, what he said when they broke up, but he was like, oh, it's a mutual thing. We're just, like, too far apart from each other right now and, like, traveling. So maybe, like, the truth is that she broke up with him and he just was trying to save face then. But that was a thing that I was like, maybe this isn't Allie. Anyway, I understand why I had the same thought. I was like, ooh, maybe it's Allie.
Yeah. I also feel like he must know. Like, I feel like he is totally gaming the fact that he's dated all these women that we're aware of.
Yeah.
Clearly it wasn't Tia. We know that he didn't say I love you to Tia during their fateful makeout.
Yeah. Their weekend together. My favorite phrasing. Chaste weekend.
Oh, so romantic.
Yeah.
Colton, like, I started rewatching the first episode I missed, and I was so sad that I didn't get to make fun of all of Colton's, like, extremely dumb statements.
Mm-hmm.
But fortunately, we got this one-on-one that I get to talk about. But he, like, what they end up doing is they ride camels. It is sponsored by Camel Safari. And it's so that they can get over the humps of past relationships, which turns out to be not all that fitting.
Yeah.
Although we don't actually know that yet. There are no humps in Colton's past, apparently. But
this date felt weird. And they even joked about how it was weird. Like, Becca was like, oh, we're going to sit in a hot tub in the desert. And it's not like it was night. It gets cold in the desert at night. It was broad daylight.
Yeah. And I think she was trying to get him to show a sense of humor.
Right.
Because she is so desperate to, like, pull the relationship she wants out of this guy she's really attracted to.
I mean, she was just gushing about him.
Like, they're on the camels. She's, like, almost falling off the camel trying to hold hands with him. He's like, cool, whatever, sure.
Yeah.
They're in the hot tub, and she's like, here's a funny joke about the hot tub. Let's make out. And then he literally says just one thing. She says, this is great. I like being here with you. And she's like, that's so amazing to hear. Thank you so much. And makes out with him. When we were watching last night, my husband just, like, looked up from his computer and was like, this is like the SNL parody, literally. Like, she was like, I'm so glad you're here. And he was like, I appreciate you having me here. So I felt like the bar was set pretty low for Colton, even after all of the drama that he, like, brought in. She's not even reserved with him at all anymore.
Right. And then half of the conversations were about how glad they were that they were over those challenges. And I was like, that was not that long ago.
Yeah.
Like, but also, like, have you really moved past it? Because you're still talking about those challenges. You're just not upset about them anymore.
Right. I also feel like you can't say, oh, it's great that we got through this challenge together, when what really happened is that you were so desperate to make out with this hot guy
mm-hmm.
that you decided to strategically ignore this external issue.
Yeah. Do you think Colton looks a lot like her ex-boyfriend?
Ooh.
I think he does.
Yeah.
But he's clearly nicer and smileier. Her ex was, like, really brooding and, like, kind of like a moving rock.
Yeah. They both have the football look.
Yeah,
like, enormous jaw.
She clearly is. I mean, it's like Wisconsin. I get it.
Just... Yeah. Well, it's weird for me because I mean, I'm nothing like Becca, but she's such the kind of girl that you can relate to. That's, like, her brand. And
yeah, like, nice and normal.
Yeah, normal. She's, like, a publicist. So
God, I literally forgot what she does for a living.
Yeah. Well, she doesn't anymore.
Right.
She's, like, brunette. Like, she wasn't the hot blonde one. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, I could be like Becca.
Yeah.
And then you see the guys she dates, and I'm like, oh, no, we're completely different kinds of girls. Because even if I was really into football players, I would have just been single until I died. That would just be my fate. But Colton is willing to give this whole thing a shot. And honestly, like, he is just so boring that the mm-hmm. date is a complete dud.
Yeah, I was really looking for stuff to write about, and I texted my editor, and I was like, I think we have to wait until he admits he's a virgin, because this is just not going very far.
Football players are really boring.
Yeah, I mean, they are.
Like, here's one snippet that I wrote down. He says at dinner, this date was one of the best dates I've ever been on. And she's like, what? We were in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
In a hot tub. And he's,
I mean,
like,
it's clear that he's not very experienced. He even suggests
also,
that.
Also, he is very, everything feels scripted. And that's often the case with people who are not super sparkling conversationalists. Like, you know some things that people say in certain situations, and you just deploy them to fill the air. And so he's saying, this was an amazing date, because that's what you say in a situation like this. And he doesn't have a more creative way to express himself. And then she's sort of calls bullshit, and he's like, well, my favorite part is when you said we're on the same page, and I love that. And she gets so excited
mm-hmm.
and makes out with him. And I was like, how could a person be this? Like, that was when I really felt like Colton just doesn't seem fully human to me. Like, he doesn't, he seems like a little AI-like relationship generated in his conversation where he says, like, bachelor date things, but they don't seem connected to reality and they don't seem to convey any real relationship to their date or anything that's happening. I mean, obviously Colton is human unless he's a love robot.
Who's like one passion is his charity work. Unlikely.
Yeah. He's deeply passionate about the Colton Underwood Foundation.
That he named after himself, which I can't ever get over.
How else would people know that it's him?
Yeah. I love that Becca said, my favorite thing Becca said was, knowing that Colton associates the word pain with love kills me.
Oh my God. She was just
like, he's like a little baby deer or something to her.
The word bleeding heart specifically was meant to apply to Becca during this date. She was just so, her heart was wide open to him. And I honestly, his little anecdote, he's like, I was in a relationship. I said, I love you. And then it wasn't reciprocated. And then she broke up with me. And he says, for me, being in love has confusion and pain associated with it. And I was like, yeah, buddy. That's
same.
How it feels for everyone.
Yeah, this is just like life on earth, babe.
He was like, I'm this uniquely wounded soul in that I loved someone and I was hurt in that relationship. No, that's everyone.
Yeah.
And that's why we keep, like, the word vulnerable is such a catchphrase on The Bachelor, because, I mean, everyone relates to the fact that when you're in love, you're open to being hurt.
I wonder what you think about so he says that he's falling in love with Becca, but not to her, right? Like, just on camera.
Yeah, but he also doesn't, he say he's, or he says he's falling for her.
Okay, maybe I just, like, it's interesting to me that last week a guy said he was falling in love with Becca and it was too soon, and then this week the taps have been turned on and she's loving it from everybody.
Well, yeah, because she loves it from Colton. She would literally anything Colton says, she takes completely at face value.
Well, it's just like the argument that it was too soon last week when this episode was shot like 3 days later than like what we saw, quote unquote, last week. It's like, no, it's just who you like.
Right. Well, because she feels like she's falling for Colton. So it makes complete sense.
Yeah, when she like whispers to him like, I don't know what you're doing to me. And then, like, it, like, faded to commercial. I was like, I don't want to know what he's doing to you.
That's when The Bachelor crosses over the line between, like, I love getting to watch people do this stuff and date, and I don't, I feel uncomfortable.
Right, like, you're always like, oh, I can't wait for the fantasy suite date, and then it comes, and you're like, oh, actually, can we just fast forward?
In reality, I don't want to know what these two whisper to each other, or, like, the slurpy noises they make. Yeah, he's like, I don't use falling in love lightly, but he is already really gearing up to deploy it. And we know that later in the season, he's going to deploy it because we see in teasers.
Yeah.
But Becca really just accepts everything he says. She never really presses him. We see her press people in other conversations, and he'll just be like, you know, I'm here for you and the Tia thing is over. And she's like, it's so amazing to hear you say that. I really feel things with you. It's like, you don't have any more questions about that? Like, maybe just one or two. But Colton gets the rose. And meanwhile, the second date is a group date. And there are only two people left off of the group date card, aside from Colton. The group date is Wills, Garrett, Blake, John, Connor, Leo, Lincoln, Jason, and Chris, which at that point the guys all realize that it's just David and Jordan.
Yeah, I love that they can count. It goes really well.
A lot of real husband quality material in this bunch. This episode, I just really ran out of patience with Jordan and David.
Yeah. It was really interesting to me how many guys in this span of time were just like wilding out, like just like like, clearly maybe it's just like been a few weeks and like the Stockholm syndrome is setting in, or like something where like Chris is freaking out, David and Jordan are still like at a head, you know, like Wills even gets irritated, like everyone's clearly like stuff is percolating.
It doesn't seem like a super mature group.
No.
which might be partly on Becca at this point, and who she's choosing.
But yeah, it was.
It never seemed like the most mature group.
Yeah. Which did we see first? The group date? The 2-on-1 was last?
The 2-on-1 is last.
Okay,
yeah.
Right.
So let's talk about the group date. They are headed to, I think it's Wayne Newton's like home.
Yeah. Is there something about guys who work and live in Vegas as performers where there's just like a rule that they have to look like Liberace?
I mean, it felt really mean to me to have him on the show because we're all just waiting to tear everything apart on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And then you offer us Wayne Newton's face.
He was brutal to the men, though.
Yeah.
About their songs. I loved it. I was like, he is not like, who was the guy who's, I didn't know who he was with the Chris singing date.
Oh, yeah.
Something.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Who cares? He was like, oh, your song is so beautiful, amazing. And Wayne Newton was like, less than impressed.
Yeah.
He was like, I liked.
I'm glad that they're like trying, but I wouldn't be in a rush to go out and use any of this material.
Yeah.
Which, correct.
Yeah. Please. Did you think you were going to get some like free ideas out of this?
That was how they were like, we've got the smartest guys in America.
They know a lot about love and life and song.
And they're competing for a hot girl, so you know they're really going to bring their A game.
Yeah.
We have this incredibly painfully awkward segment where Wayne Newton sings Donka Shane to mm-hmm. them a cappella and then is like, now look how different it is when I sing it to my beautiful wife, the love who has taught me everything about loving in the world. And he sings it to her and it's exactly the same.
Yeah. I meant to Google him and see how many times he's been married. Like maybe they've been married for 30 years and it's an incredible relationship, but also maybe this is like his 7th wife.
That's a really good and important question.
Claire's tapping away.
It appears he's been married twice.
Okay.
So, you know, they've been married since 1994.
Okay.
So.
I'll take it.
I respect that.
It's longer than I've been married. Which
Me
is
too.
Not at all.
I don't know. I've been married for a year now and yeah. I feel like I have a lot of insight to
yeah.
offer. Wayne, if you don't know what Donka Shane is, it's a song that you might actually recognize from Ferris Bueller's Day
mm-hmm.
Off. Which
famously.
Is, yeah. It's actually the only instance I think I'd ever heard it before. But it was like a...
It was a thing.
A thing.
Yeah.
So basically the guys are all writing their own versions.
Yeah. It seems weird that they would do the same date like 2 episodes apart.
Yeah, and Chris was on both of them. This seems
yeah.
like a mistake in planning, although it turned out to be brilliant producing
mm-hmm.
because it allowed Chris to really get out over his skis
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah. Also weird that they're, I mean, I just like they obviously they tailor it to whoever it is, but luckily for me in my recapping, this season is like a lot of sports stuff, but there haven't been a lot of like bungee jumping and like I'm so
yeah.
scared and you have to hold me and like protect me, like that's usually a big trope.
No
and I
adrenaline dates. I wonder if Becca is really not down for it
mm-hmm.
but I've heard that she's like very amenable to production, which makes sense considering what she's been through
yeah
and agreed to go through.
Would explain what we would talk about soon with the 2-on-1 date, but I have a lot of questions.
Oh my god, that we there's just so much. So they're all writing their own versions of Donka Shane, and this is like a kind of a terrible idea, in my opinion, because they're all just going to write the same song.
Mm-hmm.
And so they all are like, Will's like, I'm going to write it, but in French.
Yeah.
And Lincoln's like, I'm going to write it, but in my native language.
Whatever that is.
Chris is like, I'm going to do it in Spanish.
Yeah.
But
I liked... Or I didn't like, I was interested to see that I'm so curious about how much they may have cut of Lincoln from this episode. He
yeah.
was there a couple times, so clearly they didn't try to write him out completely. There was so much going on that it seems unlikely to me that he would have been in a lot more, and they tapered it down because there's like a lot of stuff, like none of his, he didn't seem connected to any of the plot lines we saw.
Right. And when we see all the guys like sitting around, it doesn't seem... like there's tension with him.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's always so much for them to like pick from.
Right.
But it does seem unlikely that there was a lot of Lincoln.
So I thought that was an interesting call. They were like, we're just going to kind of like coast with this a little bit and like take whatever heat we get from continuing to air this show that he's on.
I mean, it's a little late now.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's from what I've seen of the previews and like what we've seen so far, it seems like the Lincoln drama is kind of over on the show,
because
he has the early incidents and he hasn't been making waves really since then.
We've
seen new immature dudes. It's really crazy how we cycle through. It's like Connor and Lincoln, and now they're just kind of chilling in the background while other guys go crazy. There's no one, almost no one, who has comported themselves in a way that I feel like Becca should marry one of them.
Yeah.
It's really just
except
like.
Except for Wills, who I love.
Wills, yes.
I will say.
Wills really handled everything well tonight. Let's talk about the performance. After Wayne has cut them all down to size and is like, you all are terrible, he's like, you're going to be singing live in Vegas. In tuxes from the Black Tux, a tuxedo company.
I liked the tuxes.
They were fine. This is the second time Black Tux has sponsored a date this season.
Oh, was the first episode?
The first real date. Where they ruined their tuxes. And they were like, this time we're going to let those tuxes get some real airtime. So they all perform. They're all awful. But they all have a lot of fun with it. So I was surprised when Chris, who almost had a heart attack during his first songwriting date, was like, these guys all suck, and I'm the one who's really going to bring the energy. But he's like, I've done this once, so I have that little bit of expertise that they don't have.
How much do you think, like, doing well on these dates even matters? Like, that's what's interesting to me.
Not
like,
at all.
I just think, like, I mean, you could be funny or like or show a part of your personality, like not be a total sad sack. And obviously sometimes the opposite happens, where if you're really stressed then you get a moment with the lead and they kind of like console you, but like I think it's just because they have nothing else to think about and it's like so competition focused. They're like, I have to be the best. This matters so much to whether I'm successful with Becca. And it's like literally not at all just here to fill time.
I mean, it happens every season. It's not based on any evidence. Like, there's no advantage to doing really well at a challenge, but it's the only thing that feels within their control.
Yeah.
And so everyone always obsesses over it. Like, it's really hard to be like, today I'm going to make Becca feel my animal magnetism. But you can be like, today I'm going to show Becca that I can sang more on key than, although none of them sang more on key. They were all extremely off key.
I think I kind of blacked out during this date. I really don't remember it. Sorry.
Watching like nine guys sing versions of Donka Shane will do that to a brain. And Chris actually was one of my least favorite songs because he translates Donka Shane into Muy Bonita, which doesn't really fit the rhythm of the song at all.
God, cutting criticism, Claire.
I mean, it's like he ends up having to be like, muy bonita, darling, muy bonita.
Ooh, you sound
just
good.
It doesn't fit. Yeah, no, I'm really gifted. You can hear it in my podcasting voice. It's mellifluous. But he does really throw himself into the performance. He starts off by ordering a tequila and double water, as all the badasses
do. Real classic Bev.
Hey, bartender, I'll take a tequila water, double water, shaken, not stirred. And then he wanders around the whole club, just like getting the crowd ginned up. And he's like, that's it. I've wrapped it up. Becca and I are getting married. That's what she needed to see from me. She saw me write a beautiful love song, and now she's seen me write like a peppy love song.
Yeah. I wonder if it's like you see this a lot where the guys who get like the early one-on-ones really like either they kind of freak, I guess maybe they do both, like they like get really confident and then they kind of freak out when that confidence is not really being supported by evidence.
They get confident really fast and then they are let down really hard.
The successful ones are the ones that like I think just manage to ride it out and like keep their insecurities to themselves as much as possible.
Yeah.
Like,
and,
Becca
keep
doesn't
making an effort.
Right. Like just are kind of like always there, like really like make that time special, but don't like put your shit on Becca because honestly, she has enough going on. She doesn't need this.
Yeah. I mean, you can definitely want Becca to give you some extra validation. Sometimes leads do that. Sometimes they pull people out of the group date for a little special time or they seek them out. But if she's not doing that, then you do have to, like, put it, you can't just sit there sulking until the end of the night. That never works out for anyone. And then he decides that maybe he should just go home. Like, if she's clearly not into him, he sang that beautiful song for her, and she didn't come find him. And she ends up giving out the group date rose without even talking to him.
Who did she give it to again? Blake?
Blake.
Yeah.
Because, and here's what Blake does. He's like, I'm so mad that Jean Blanc stole that moment from you when a guy first told you
that was
on this show.
It was like such a clutch move on his part.
He was like, I want to give that moment back to you because I have been falling in love with you.
Yeah, Blake knows what to do. I'm impressed. He's playing the game well. He's like always really energetic and like smiley and, you know, he's not weighing it down with the drama.
I noticed something interesting. I listened to two recaps this morning, as I do, and one of them, the consensus was that Blake is too fun and doesn't have enough serious energy, and the other one was that he's too serious and doesn't have enough fun energy. And here's the thing. I understand both of those takes. Mm-hmm. He's got this weird just, like, neutrality to him.
Well, we also haven't seen, like, a one-on-one date with him, right?
So, no, we have. He was the bashing shit.
Oh my god! But they didn't do anything on that. Yeah,
I think they
can't believe I forgot about Turned On for What. That's extremely.
Yeah, that was the highlight of the date.
Yeah, when that happened, I was like, I feel like I'm having a stroke, but in a good way.
That's just every episode of The Bachelor.
Yeah,
I mean, I think on that date we didn't get to see much of them interacting, and but I see that he has this sort of lightness to him. But whenever they actually talk, I feel like we see them talking about serious things.
Yeah.
So he actually is combining those energies for
me. Yeah, I totally get why she's, like, feeling this. It's like she has enough going on with all these other idiots.
Do you think? I think he could be an early Bachelor contender.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it just depends on, like, does Blake get the plot line that they need to propel him into lead material?
I don't think he's going to win. But I think he is treating Becca nicely.
Mm-hmm.
He seems, like, open and...
He seems like he'd be better than Chris Soules, so, like, I'll roll with it.
I still cannot believe that Chris Soules was ever selected. Like, what was going on? Blake does get the rose after he makes this pronouncement. This was the real moment where I was like, so 3 days ago, Jean Blanc said this, and you could not believe it, and now you're fully on board. And in fact, not even asking any follow-up questions.
Yeah, it was such a perfect moment for this show, like, that encapsulates all its everything.
Yeah. I mean, I get that, like, he has had more time with her than Jean Blanc did.
Yeah.
And that she reciprocates his feelings more than she did with Jean Blanc. But I don't necessarily take anyone at face value when they say this early in the season that they're falling in love. I think they are all kind of just saying what she wants to hear.
Yeah, though it's so weird because, I mean, I guess if you, to me, it's like so early, it would be such a turnoff.
Yeah.
I think, like, it must be such a vulnerable position to have, like, been rejected by your ex on live television and then come on this. And, like, that's such a trope, right? That the one who was rejected is, like, so worried it's not going to work for them this time and that someone is going to reject them.
Yeah, and that's the central conflict of most Bachelor and Bachelorette's narratives is that they were rejected.
Right.
But also I think it must be really vulnerable to be the lead and to know that all these people are dating you because they, like, have to and they signed up before they ever met you.
Yes.
I would always be wondering. But I'm also the kind of person that would watch, like, She's All That and be like, now if any guy asks me out ever, then I will assume it's for an ulterior motive. Like, I'm always looking for that. But I think that even if you're not a crazy insecure person, that situation would make you question everyone.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So Chris, this is when Chris really starts spiraling, because up until she hands out the group date rose, he's feeling superbly confident. He's like, I have a really deep connection with her. I'm not worried about anyone else. She's going to come find me if she wants to talk to me. And
such a mistake.
I'm not nervous. All the other guys are like, I would be nervous.
All of these people have watched the show before. I understand that it's totally different once you're in the environment. But you would think that, like if I went on, I would, like, write myself a little memo, and, like, sneak it into my bag and be like, remember, these are the things not to do that happen every season.
Yeah. And, like, you would think that all the other guys still being there, even if you had a good one-on-one time, that you would still have those seeds of doubt and insecurity that she was really into you over the other guys. And he just loses that so quickly.
Yeah.
I feel like he's the kind of guy that, like, you hook up with three times and then he sits you down and is like, I'm really sorry, but, like, I just can't give you the relationship you want right now. And you're like, I don't know why you're assuming I want that. And he's like, no, you don't have to say anything.
Yeah.
Like, he has this deeply rooted, like, he's deeply convinced that people just want him.
Yeah. Yeah. It did feel a little bit to me like whenever these sort of flights of fancy come up that these are like prime situations in which producers are behind the scenes being like, yeah, you think you're gonna get the rose? You like, seems like you might get the rose. Like, and then he's kind of like, oh my god, am I gonna get the rose? Like, do they know something that I don't know? Oh my god, I'm gonna get the rose.
Yeah,
and he doesn't get the rose, and he's like, what the fuck?
You're gonna get the rose, then you can pretty much assume you're not gonna get the rose, because why would they tell you that if you were going to get the rose?
Yeah,
they only tell you that so that you can freak out when you don't get it. But Chris gives a little monologue after the rose is awarded. He says, tonight I'm shook. And the guys are all like, please stop talking.
I really like, I'm like always watching this show for like the fourth wall being broken. And I did really like when they don't really talk about time ever, because they don't want you to really know, like, they spent 8 hours at this rose ceremony and it's like 7 a.m. now or whatever. But there's one point where Chris is, like, freaking out, and he's like, David's been gone, like, 35, 40 minutes. And I was like, oh, so that's how much time people have with him. Like,
yeah, and it's weird. When you talk to former contestants or leads, and you're like, how much one-on-one time is there really? They're always like, oh, not that much. And I'm like, no, please be specific.
Yeah, give me, like, 2 minutes or, like, 15?
Yeah,
or
to me, watching the show, I only see, like, 30 seconds. So not that much to me is, like, 30 seconds.
Right. And can you imagine being Becca and just having... It's basically like 8 interviews in a night, just back to back to back to back, with alcohol and like some nice lighting. But
I'm always like, there's plenty of time to talk to everyone. And then I was at a junket recently where I had like 4 group interviews in a row. And at the end, I was like, I will never question a bachelor or bachelorette again. This is exhausting.
Yeah.
And I was just asking them about a TV show, which is like, whatever. So... It basically, Chris at this point is like, I thought I was in a different realm from you guys, but she didn't like make time for me, and so she doesn't want me. I think I'm gonna go home. And all the other guys are like, whatever. Wills is like, I don't have a rose either, so like, please stop. We're going to take a short break, but don't go anywhere. When we come back, we're going to break down that awful, awful 2-on-1.
If you, like the two of us, are just always desperate to bring more coziness into your life, may we suggest Barefoot Dreams, especially now because the brand is celebrating their 30th anniversary.
With those 30 years of coziness, Barefoot Dreams celebrates being the originators of everyone's favorite luxe home blanket.
I mean, there's a reason why Barefoot Dreams has been on Oprah's favorite things list 6 times.
If there's anything I trust more than Oprah's favorite things list, it's 6 of Oprah's favorite things list. I mean, come on. Dressing head to toe in Barefoot Dreams is the key to comfort, as their collection of ultra soft robes, loungewear, and accessories are made with premium materials.
And their products make perfect gifts too.
I'm a huge fan of just swaddling myself in a big cozy robe. So I know, Emma, I'm very excited for the Barefoot Dreams robe that is heading my way right now. I was so excited to pick it out, and I'm so excited to try it on. Like, the perfect cozy robe.
I'm so excited too.
Oh my God, it's going to change my life, I think.
We'll just be swaddling ourselves in coziness 100% of the time. And I think we can all agree that, like, that is the lifestyle which we deserve and to which we aspire. Thank you, Barefoot Dreams.
For Love to See It with Emma and Claire listeners, you can get 15% off your first purchase at barefootdreams.com with the code LTSI15.
Don't miss out on Barefoot Dreams' soft, soothing fabrics that will bring luxury to your life. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/love to see it today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/love to see it. Okay, so you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, you know, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit. And I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with Top Factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
And at this point, we take a break from Chris to go on the two-on-one.
Yes.
And meanwhile, we've been seeing snippets of David and Jordan in the house. David just needling Jordan.
Does David's nose, is it just because I know that he fell off a bed, or is his nose just like a little, you know?
I mean.
Or maybe it's like one, there's like bruise under one eye, so it like looks uneven.
I never looked that closely at David before he fell off the bed. Yeah. So I don't know if like his nose shape is.
I just like they pick these guys because they have symmetrical faces and his face is not really.
I think
doing
David
that
is,
anymore.
Was supposed to be like the quirky, like not he's not quirky. He's like extremely
right,
basic.
But he's like quirky for the show.
Right. And yeah. That he's like just some guy that you would have like had calculus class with.
Yeah. And now like his quirk is that one of his eyes is like completely bloodshot. Yeah.
Oh, I was underwhelmed after they blurred his face out in
of
a couple
course,
episodes
they
ago.
Always
and then he
do
came
that.
Back.
Or like when they'll do that in the Bachelor seasons when like maybe like a girl's like bikini is too small. They did that for
yeah,
some.
The black
it was
box.
Like, yeah.
They've like, been doing that. They do it a lot on Paradise.
Yeah. And it's like, I wish that this was as exciting as you're pretending it is.
If only. But that they've been doing this crazy thing on the proposal where, I mean, all the contestants, if you're not watching,
don't.
It's really bad. But they blur out just the entire body and face of the lead until they're revealed from the pod. So which I don't see why it's necessary for the audience to not see this person.
Yeah.
But the last night, it was incredible because she was in shots with her child and you see the whole child. And the
oh,
child
yeah.
is being held by like this swirling human shaped
blob. It was really weird. It was like CGI like in a movie or something.
Yeah.
But or, obviously but, like, they don't really have the budget for that. So.
Right. It seemed like it was maybe for like something you might see in like a Bible school video about like God or something, and it's like
what if God was
what
one
if
of
God
us?
Was one of and you'd be like, oh, not great CGI, but like I appreciate the effort and the expense they went through to make me really believe in God, but instead it is to make me believe that an aspiring country singer can find love.
Mm-hmm.
So where were we?
Two on one. This is my pet peeve, the most like classic two-on-one. I mean, there have been two in my mind in recent memory that really stand out. When What's-Her-Face was left on the island.
Olivia,
thank you. And then just like the drone or like the helicopter just pans out and it's just like her alone like shivering. Like,
yeah, apparently it was freezing.
It looked so cold. Tragic. And then Crystal's season when those two crazy women, they did the same thing as this episode where they're in a canyon.
Oh, yeah.
And then he just leaves them both behind.
He leaves them both there.
Which is, like, one of the most beautiful, like, insane shots ever. And so I was, like, really annoyed that they did the same canyon thing. I was like, that was not that long
but
ago.
But they didn't leave him.
I know.
Really. I think that they have found that viewers, while some of them enjoy that, find it to be brutal and dehumanizing.
What?
And it detracts sympathy from the lead that they walked away and left their former like girlfriend on an island.
Yeah, I just was like, we did this thing very recently. Like, give me a new weird location.
I now think of the desert as like, because even the island that Olivia was on was a very scrubby,
yeah,
like rocky island.
Yeah, it was basically like a strip of sand. It was like a sandbar in the middle of the
Caribbean. For just maximum pathos as the lead flies away with
the other. She has to like wade back to the shore or whatever.
But this time there wasn't, they didn't even fly there.
No.
Becca drove them.
And we didn't even see the end. It just is like done.
Yeah. I mean, there wasn't that much to it. Like, it was pretty short.
No, I mean, what was annoying was like, I liked when Becca was like, listen to the silence. Like, yeah, you could tell that she was just like praying that they be quiet. I was honestly shocked by the turn of events, though, which is that she sent David home and then decided she and Jordan needed to have dinner to talk more. All the producers making her do it, right? There's no way. If anything, David seemed like, I mean, he's been such a shit stir that I'm sure she was like, this guy is bad news.
Yeah.
But both of them, it's like, get rid of them.
I feel like what she really wanted was obviously to get rid of both of them, but maybe just to get one of them alone so that she could talk to one of them about anything other than listening to them snipe at each other over her. But, I mean, she could have had more one-on-one time with them. Like, it seems like they sat down on the palapa in the middle of the Valley of Fire.
Yeah.
And by the way, they show up, meet Becca standing there in camo and Daisy Dukes. And Jordan is like,
a weird
she looks
outfit.
Like a snack. And I was like, Jordan.
Do you know what that means?
It just doesn't work coming from you, Jordan. I'm sorry.
And then the Tims. That was one of my least favorite outfits.
It was a lot. It's not really my style. Also, I loved how Becca was like, welcome to the Valley of Fire. Like, she's the host of, like, First Look or something. I think she would be a great First Look host.
You are right about that.
Except she would have to do some more adrenaline stuff.
Yeah.
We need to see her in an adrenaline situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they basically, she's like, please sit and take in the silence. And David is like, great, I love the silence. I'm so pumped to be here. Quality time with you is so important, and I just love sitting here and taking in the silence. And yeah, so this is cool. I really love being here. Like, cannot stop talking.
Yeah.
David is...
He's a chatterbox.
And he's very divisive. I know, like, some people hate him and think he's worse than Jordan. Mm-hmm. And other people are like, he seems normal. He seems like someone I would know, and therefore I relate to him.
I mean, he seems like someone who knows how to needle.
Yeah.
In an effective way. It's like mean. And he seems like a little cruel. Jordan is just like, doesn't live on this planet.
Yeah.
So that's a different kind of thing. What disease did he say his mom had?
He didn't. He said multiple mental illnesses.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
Yeah.
At first, he just kind of mumbled it, and I was like, multiple sclerosis? Like, what?
Yeah,
like,
mental,
what's happening here?
Mental illnesses.
Got it.
I mean, there was just, I didn't even know what to believe by the end, but I do believe that David totally made up Jordan saying that he would be settling for Becca.
Mm-hmm.
Because even when Becca, David sits down with Becca first and is basically just like, it's so great to be here. A lot of the guys here are here for the right reasons, but one of them isn't. And that's Jordan. And let me tell you why. He said he would be settling for you and he wants to hook up with hot girls.
Such
at the
a rookie move. Like,
and
what are you doing?
He bowls right into it. He doesn't beat around the bush. He doesn't take any time. He's just like, the first thing you need to know is that I hate Jordan and that Jordan thinks very little of you.
She's like, yeah, that's clear. That's why you guys are both here right now.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, if I really thought that Jordan was the guy for me, he would not be here with you. I mean, it's, and sometimes you see people go into these 2-on-1 dates and with sort of an attitude of like, I'm going to take one for the team. Like, I'm going to bring this evil person down. And it's unclear to me what David's agenda even really is. It's not, it doesn't seem like he thinks that Jordan is a threat to Becca or that he really needs to be exposed. It's almost like it's like a little fun.
No, it's definitely, it's definitely like a pastime.
Yeah.
Which doesn't reflect very well on him as like an adult male.
No, I mean, he's only 25. He's just such a long way from being a grown up. But
she just doesn't look at all, especially when we've had dates so far that she clearly likes the person. She doesn't like these guys at all. Like, she's like tolerating them through gritted teeth.
I love the sort of glazed look she gets on her face when she's listening to a guy talk that she is not interested in.
She really just kind of like, She's not great at hiding her emotions, and I don't say that as an insult. No. I say that as, like, it's really much more entertaining to watch someone who's just like,
And it's amazing to see the guys not pick up on it.
Yeah.
Like, David was like, I thought that went amazing. That went great.
Well, it's that classic thing where, like, to find out if a guy is really worth dating, you, like, just don't ask them any questions about themselves and, like, see how long it takes for the conversation to die because they don't ask you anything about you. Have you never done that? It's fun.
No.
You should try it sometime.
Well, when you're really insecure and you just, like, whenever I was on a date, I was just, like, desperate to keep conversation going.
Yeah, so and it's like a very woman thing to do is to just be like, oh, so what's up with you? Where do you work? Like, who are your friends? And then men are just like, yeah, I'll just keep answering these. And then when you stop, they're like, oh, so what are we doing here?
Well, I grew up with guys, like, totally male-dominated home. So my version of making conversation is I offer stuff about myself, and then I wait for people to counter with similar examples about themselves. And then when they don't, I'm just like, I guess they don't want to talk about themselves. It's weird. But, like, and I have to tell you, as a journalist, this has not served me well.
Yeah, not the best technique.
No. I go in, and I'm like, so here's some stuff about me. Ice broken. Like, your turn.
Yeah.
So... honestly, if I were Becca, by the time I talked to Dave, like, so David seems so gleeful to tell her that a guy thinks he'd be settling for her.
Yeah.
That I would immediately be like, if you really cared about my feelings, wouldn't you have tried to be a little more delicate about this?
Yeah. It's like that classic thing where they don't realize that, like, putting down someone else does not, like, lift them up.
Yeah.
If anything, it, like, drops them further down.
Right, because now he's the person that she's heard say the words, settling for you.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't hear that from Jordan.
Yeah.
She didn't have to hear it at all. She heard it from David. And now she is going to associate that with him, and for good reason, because it seems like he made it up. She finally sits them down. Jordan is losing his mind. He's like, you're a shell of a man. You're a skeleton of a man. Or did that happen earlier? When does he say that?
He says so many things. He's going to be great on Paradise. I think he's, like, a natural fit for that show, right? Like, it seems impossible that he won't get there.
Although, here's my thing. With someone like Jordan, I love the thought of having them on Paradise, but it's hard for me to imagine anyone wanting to date them on Paradise.
No, he's, like, the least attractive person
so
I've
then how
ever
does he
seen
stay
on this show. Yeah.
But who knows? That's what I thought about Daniel and...
Oh, my God.
He always managed to stick around.
Daniel was, like, a hotter-looking person, though.
I find them both very weird-looking.
I mean, I'm not attracted to either of them, but just, like, Daniel
doesn't
look like
a... Daniel has more of a model look.
Yeah, like, Jordan seems to think that he's hot, but he looks like a Ken Barbie doll, and, like, that's, like a thing you think is hot when you're five.
He has a very catalog look.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know all about these things. So... Becca sits him down, and also Jordan is wearing, like, a navy polo shirt.
Yeah.
Tucked into belted khakis.
Yeah, the khakis gotta go.
They didn't seem to, like, fit quite right. Like, for someone who talks a lot about choosing the right outfit and stuff, I never look at his clothes and think, like, wow, that fit is impeccable.
Yeah, and especially compared to someone like Wills, who wore, like, a beautiful plaid suit at the group date that I couldn't stop looking at.
I know.
Like, that was a statement.
That's how you peacock.
Yeah.
Also, I went to Catholic school, so whenever I looked at Jordan on this date, I was like, basically, like, yeah, hottest 12-year-old on
the
block,
yeah,
I guess. Or at least the...
Yeah, he just has, like, a Hansen look. Like, that's what you thought was cute when you were 10.
Yeah. So she tells him what David says, and he's like, he's lying. He manipulated my words. I've always said I'd be totally honest with you, and I've said that from the beginning. And she's like, yeah, everyone is saying that. So you understand why that means basically nothing to me. And he's like, well, I'm very loyal. I've watched my dad love my mom for 27 years. He says she has mental illnesses and he comes from nothing and he's fought for everything he has. He'll fight for her.
She's like, uh-huh. So does this mean I can't send you home because you've had tragedy and it will make me look bad? Like,
I mean,
just seems like a last-ditch attempt.
It really does. I mean, it's entirely possible that that is all true and very difficult for him and sad and like.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean someone should love you.
Right.
That's not really how this stuff works.
Yeah. And it doesn't even mean that you're like a great partner just because you have seen other people be great partners and you value that.
Yeah.
It doesn't. I used to think like, oh, I would be the best girlfriend because like being a girlfriend would matter to me so much. And it turns out I was a really bad girlfriend. Like, it's not the same thing. You actually have to have more than just valuing other people being good partners.
Yeah.
Finally, Becca just has to sit down with both of them and be like, David, did Jordan actually ever say this? And David is sort of like, I mean, like, maybe, like, I feel like I heard it once.
Mm-hmm.
So, no. And she says, well, I feel like this is where we part ways, David. She sends him home. And she needs more time with Jordan.
Ugh, why?
I feel like producers must have.
They definitely made her keep him the episodes that we've seen. Like, I think he could have gone home in episode 2.
She keeps saying she thinks he's, like, funny. And I'm like,
funny to laugh at, right. Not with. Like, it's so obvious what was happening there. And, like, whatever, they have to do it, I guess. But I don't really think they do have to do it. It's, like, wasting time that we could be seeing with people that, like, would actually be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say, he was really interesting to me on
on, like, a psychological level. It's like, what's happening there? Like, studied in a zoo or something.
Yeah. They go to bar and have a drink or something, and she is like, yeah, I was frustrated by what happened, but let's just move past it, let's try to get to know each other. And he's like, yeah, I want to know about you. What does your weekend look like usually?
Oh yeah.
Which
great
is
question.
It's a classic Lauren Ari question.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I like the outdoors, I like going to church. And like,
oh, yeah, I loved when she was like, I go to church with my girlfriends and then we go to brunch.
I know.
I was like, wow, that's specific.
That's the Midwestern version of we go to yoga and then we go to brunch.
Yes. I once had a yoga teacher who we were like in the middle of Downward Dog. She was like, guys, like, this is your church. And I was like, This is my workout for the day.
It can be like church, but for like white ladies in Brooklyn,
right.
It's
and
not
then,
their church.
Right, and then like everyone like tittered. Like she was like, yeah, this is like Brooklyn church. And I was like,
oh my God.
I gotta get out of here. I did not return to the studio.
No longer felt comfortable.
Yeah.
So Jordan's like, cool, that's all great. For me, like the weekend is all about the gym because my body is so important to my work and like skincare, hair care, choosing the right outfit. And that's where success comes from, is the gym and skincare and like really investing time into it. So similar to her weekend. And she's like, well, how realistic is Zoolander? And
he
says, very.
Yeah, that was actually really good.
That was great.
And then he does the face and he like it's honestly really crazy what models can do with their faces that make their whole face look different.
It is interesting to me because, well, I was just on vacation, and on vacation I spent a lot of time asking my husband to take pictures of me in front of landmarks. And then I would look at them and be like, that is not the face I thought I was making
all. Yeah. Like, wait, I was supposed to look like Tyra Banks there and I didn't.
Yeah. Like, I thought I was doing like a coy smile and instead it looks like I'm scowling.
Yeah.
Or I thought I was grinning and instead it looks like I'm scowling.
Right.
I have non-resting bitch face. Every face I make turns into a bitch face.
That was the first moment I was impressed with Jordan.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you have a skill.
Yeah. I was like, I actually wish I could do that.
Yeah.
I wish I could. Like, he was getting very technical about which muscles you have to move to convey certain expressions to people.
Right. But, like, that's the kind of thing that's, like, funny to talk to someone about at a party and then, like, tell people later. Like, not the kind of thing you care about in someone that you, like, are going to marry.
I do deeply care about that. And it's unfortunate for me because my husband can't do that at all.
Maybe he'll train himself.
I know. If he wants to keep me happy, 50-50. He's like, I wish I could get my portfolio out. And she is not into this. She thinks he's being self-centered.
But he is
100% being self-centered.
Claire.
But it's such a more interesting conversation, actually, than most of the mutual conversations we hear, which are mutual in the sense that he's like, love just really matters to me. Does it matter to you? And she's like, yes, it does matter to me. How about family? And he's like, it does matter to me. Does it matter to you? Like, I guess those are mutual conversations, but there isn't a lot of actual substance being aired.
Yeah.
I would rather hear Jordan talk about how he moves his eyebrows.
Pick up some tips.
I just don't think my face can do it. Like, I can raise one eyebrow. That's my one skill.
My sister taught herself to wiggle her ears when she was a kid just by staring in the mirror and practicing for, like, hours. So if you believe it, you can achieve it.
Well, sometimes I practice photo faces in the mirror, and then when I'm like, I nailed this. I'm ready. And then when
then you gotta, like, muscle memory it, right?
Right. Yeah. And then when I do that, when I pull it out for, like, a photo shoot, which I've participated in many of.
I was like, what's your life like?
Yeah, mostly for Instagram. But then it just never comes out. I'm always like, I practiced it in front of the mirror. I looked glamorous. My cheekbones are appearing somehow. And then I do it and I look at the picture later and I look constipated or something. So I have a long way to go. But this was a really inspiring episode for me.
Yeah.
It's interesting. David was so, like, awful during the two-on-one that it was hard not to sympathize with Jordan. But then as soon as David is gone, Jordan is gloating and he's being narcissistic and self-satisfied. And I was like, oh, maybe you're just both the worst.
Definitely.
And people lose sight of that. People are like, oh, I'm Team Jordan. Don't be Team Jordan. They all suck. They're all bad. And he says he thinks the rose on the table is just about to jump on his chest.
Oh, God.
A last Jordanism for us. But she sends him home. And she's like, keep laughing. And he's like, yeah, whatever. So, and in the limo, he says some really wild stuff that made me question whether he understands what dating is.
Yeah.
He's like, I guess she just didn't think I was enough. But the thing I appreciate the most about her, this woman that he was allegedly trying to marry, the thing he appreciates the most about her is that she said she's never met anyone like him.
Yeah. Wait, I wrote down, and Becca could not have said this, so it must have been him. I think he says, I do feel unique.
He did say that. Because I do feel unique.
Yeah.
I do.
Proud of that little baby boy.
It's like, the best thing about Becca is that she sees that I'm unique.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, but I don't know. I'm smart. I do have the look. I can speak. I can walk. I'm fit. I wish I know what she didn't like about me. But all of those things, I would say maybe one of those things is relevant to a romantic relationship.
Yes.
Which is that he thinks he's smart. Having the look, which sounds like a modeling thing, is not relevant. Being able to walk is not relevant, especially because I think he means, like, walking a runway.
Yeah.
None of that stuff is relevant. So Jordan has learned nothing from this experience.
Shocking.
And we see him drive off into the sunset. The guys are all really happy that he is also leaving. None of them seem that sad about David. And it's time for the cocktail party. They're down to just 10 guys, I think. One guy's going home. And Chris has been
freaking out,
simmering. But Becca grabs him first. In this, it sounded like she was saying, like, I need you to see me after class.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was like, Chris, I need you to come with me.
Yeah.
It's like the deputy principal walks up to you and you're like, oh, man, did she find that vodka bottle in my locker?
There's something that drives me crazy about these, like, can I steal you? How much time do you have conversations where the lead will never really interject between two people fighting. And I think, I assume it's a combination of, like, they don't want to look bitchy. And I'm sure production is like, let stuff play out. Like, don't show favoritism as much as possible.
I would also wonder if, as the lead, you want to know how both parties are actually going to respond.
Yeah, I think it must be just a combination of things. But I get so annoyed. Like, when, so Chris, like, has his time or whatever.
Right. And, oh, I'm sorry. We have to talk about his time because he's like, as they sit down, he's like, I think you owe me like 50,000 kisses. And she's like, excuse me? Like, I sat you down to give you a talking to.
Yeah.
And you're telling me that I owe you like physical favors. Not a great start. And they both sort of try to talk about the group date incident. And it's clear they both feel aggrieved about how the other person acted. And he does not reassure her adequately at all. She heard comments that he thought he wanted to leave. He's like, oh, whatever. Comments were made. I'm not a part of that. And she's like, no, I'm talking about your comments.
Yeah, like you things that comments. You actually said. I know. He freaked out.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, I thought maybe I should go home because you're not interested in me. And she's like, why would you think that? And also, I need you to just like maybe take some time. Think about whether you can be a 50-50 partner like I want.
I know. It's like they always have these freakouts where there's like one or two people every season who they're like, forget that this is what they signed up for.
Yeah. I mean, it's an insane show. Obviously, if you're dating a person and you both are at a party and neither of you goes to talk to the other person, you might both have a case for being pissed.
Yeah.
But in this case, she's dating all these people. That's the agreement. She's going to give time to people who seek her out. And she has a lot of other things on her plate. It's his one job to try to get time with her. That's yeah. it. And so he didn't do it. And she's so, but he's like, I don't have to think about whether I could be a good partner. I know that I would be a good partner. And she's like, wrong answer. Like, I have to think about it.
Yeah.
Because I have doubts about you now.
Yeah, like they have all this freaking time. It doesn't go the way he wants. And then he like goes back for more.
And he can't just say like, I'm sorry. He can't say like, it was stupid of me and I've learned from it. Instead, he's like, I don't think you get how much I like you. Like, I don't think you understand.
Right. And it's like, if she doesn't understand, it's your job to like demonstrate
better. Communicate that to her. So finally she just walks away. She's frustrated with him. And then he's like, I didn't like how that went.
And so he goes and interrupts Wills, who's like low-key, the most low-key best guy.
Wills is wearing this amazing outfit.
Oh my God,
it's
that
like
suit.
A matching, like,
it's like a very wide plaid.
Yeah.
Gray. And then like very pointy, kind of like dapper brown shoes. He looks great. I also just
earlier
like,
in the episode, he was wearing like a matching like short and top and a bright floral.
Yeah, he's that's like probably knockoff Gucci, but I respect the game regardless. there's something about his facial expressions that I love. Like he always just looks kind of like not having it. And as someone who is often not having it, I feel like I really like identify with that. But I really liked how he handled the situation with Chris, where he was like clearly very annoyed, as he had a right to be, because Wills is like being respectful, being like present for her, not being too pushy. It's not his fault that Chris is fucking up.
Yeah.
It's not Becca's fault.
They just sat down for their time. Chris already had time.
Chris, I mean, again, like probably a producer was like, go back right now. Like, like don't wait until later.
But that's not Wills' fault either.
Right. And so then Will, did he say 2 or 10 minutes?
Two.
Yeah. That makes more sense. Then he comes back. Chris like is wasting. It's like, you look bad. You look like an idiot. Like this does not make Becca like you.
It was really a mess for Chris. And like every decision he made it worse for him.
Yeah. I just really liked how Wills was just like, nope. Like, I'm going to be really polite about it. I'm going to be, like, very calm. He doesn't get worked up about stuff, which is always, like, a mistake for people on the show.
Yeah.
But I'm also not going to, like, stand for this. Becca's just, like, awkwardly watching the whole thing. I'm, like, in.
When it starts out, like, he comes up and is like, can I steal you away for a second? And she's like, we just sat down.
Yeah.
So no.
Yeah.
And Chris is like, really? And she's like, yeah, like, 1 minute ago. So, and he's like, I really need some time. Like, he keeps pressing and she keeps being like demurring. She's like, no, I really don't want to do this right now. And so finally he turns to Wills to like overrule her.
I know. It's
which
so
I thought was
up.
Really disrespectful.
Yeah.
And then Wills tries to like say no. And then finally he's like, okay, 2 minutes if that's cool with you, Becca.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I really appreciate I was like, because Chris was maybe she just literally, not getting what I want from her.
Maybe she just literally like is creeped out by this guy and doesn't want to talk to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope that when Wills finally came back that they had a good conversation. We don't see anything really between them. It does seem like they sit down and they're both like, ugh, finally that's over. So like that's reassuring. But yeah, I really like him. He seems like he could be really good bachelor material.
Yeah.
I don't think they will give it to him as usual.
Yeah.
But it'd be cool.
He stayed very calm and very, when he came back and Chris like refused to get up and leave, handled himself very well, but refused to just walk. Like often in that situation, you'd see the guy like go off in a huff and be like, I already gave you time. Like, why are you doing this? Instead, he's just like, politely, I want to ask you to get up.
Yeah.
Please. And then Chris won't leave. And Vega's like, I'll come find you in a minute. And he's like, really? Like, really, man? And she's like, I told you I'd come find you. Do you not believe me?
Like, it's like, what does he think this person wants to talk to him? No.
Of course not. And nothing he said to her was new when he sat down.
No. He really, I mean,
he just wanted her to react differently.
I don't
think
Connor seems like he's a front runner or doing very well right now. But he did, like, when he messed up, he, with the Lincoln thing, he did, like, apologize, like, not beat the dead horse, like, back off, like, chill.
Yeah.
Chris does not seem to know how to do that.
Yeah, he's handled this about as badly as he possibly could. And finally, Wills comes back from his time and sits down, and Chris is there. And Chris sort of starts it up again and is like, really? Like, why are you got mad at me? Like, why wouldn't you just give me the time? And Wills is like, I didn't get mad. I gave you some time, handled it the best way I could, and I'm proud of myself.
Yeah.
Which I loved. And then all the guys were like, yeah, we're on Wills' side. So, sorry. So, at this point, Becca does, in fact, come find Chris again because she's a woman of her word.
Yeah.
And so we get another Chris and Becca conversation. Chris is saying some wild stuff. He's like, I'm the guy who's genuinely here for the right reasons and ready to commit to the idea of being with Becca, which is a tortured turn of phrase. And she says, so if you feel so strongly for me, why were you ready to jump ship the other night? And he's like, well, it was the first obstacle. And so I just thought maybe I wouldn't try anymore, which is a really reassuring thing to hear from your future partner, is that, like, the first obstacle, they're like, maybe I'll just throw in the towel.
Yeah,
if not there worth aren't it. Seven producers there to make me keep going. But he's like, I'm a new me now. The new me won't give up. She is just staring blankly into space. And finally he's like, look at me. Do you see potential in me? No lie. And she doesn't respond.
I would not have predicted that Chris would have been like, this whole episode was basically about him.
Yeah.
Like, the two-on-one was almost like an afterthought, and usually the two-on-one is like the big thing.
Yeah. I had almost forgotten about his hairline.
Awful.
But we spent so much time with
truly awful.
It was, there's like a little,
it's like his baby hairs, but then he gels his hair. It's like, don't gel your hair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, I was like, what?
It's like what Kim Kardashian used to look like before she lasered all of hers off. It's like, because like he's like, has that kind of hair. It's like, he has that background.
If you just need to lean in to what
lean
works
into your
look.
Hair. I don't get it. It's bad.
Don't try some weird shit. So he ends this conversation still unhappy because Becca sort of looks like you might look during an actual breakup conversation. Like, she can't make eye contact with him.
Yeah.
Her jaw is set. And he says, well, what hurts the most is now I have the fear of not getting a rose, but I want it so bad now because I want to prove to her even more, not only that I care about her, but also to show her everything about me that will make her confident about committing to him. I must have written some of that down wrong because that doesn't make any sense. But so basically what I'm getting from this is that now he really wants a rose to prove that she still wants him.
Right. And also, like, if he doesn't get one, then she doesn't want him and he's going home.
Yeah. It's like, I'm still not at all convinced that he actually wants her to, like, be his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Just that he wants to, like, win the rose. And he's like, If this one thing will jeopardize what we have, that will be the most devastating thing that could happen to both of us.
Mm. Love when people speak for me.
Oh, yeah. I feel she seems like she feels okay.
Yeah.
So it's time for the rose ceremony. And shockingly, Chris does not go home.
I mean,
she has this tendency to like see a guy really fuck up and be like, I'm not mm-hmm. happy. Like, be very direct. I'm not happy with this. This was a big red flag. And then, just keep
like,
them.
Yeah. I mean, again, like, we don't know that much about Becca. I don't know her. But like, we saw that with her ex-boyfriend where they were together for a long ass time. And it seems like he was a big dick for a lot of it.
Yeah.
And she gave him a lot of chances. I think, and clearly she did that with Ari too, where he was like, I'm still thinking about this other woman. And she was like, let's work through it. Like, yeah. I think she's just too nice.
Yeah. No, I think so. Because, like, after the Connor thing, I was like, can you really imagine that being the guy
yeah.
that you end up with? Really? Yeah.
And at this point, it's like she and Chris have only bad energy. And it doesn't even really seem like she's actually attracted to him the way she is with, like, Colton. And she has all that drama with him. But yeah. she's trying to overcome it because clearly
yeah,
there's,
that
like...
I understand. She is blinded by his big shiny teeth and yeah. his big goofy chin.
Right.
She wants to put her face all over it.
Yeah.
I get that. Like, that's an impulse I understand.
Right, but, like, she and Chris just seem like polite acquaintances, kind of.
Right, and yeah. currently no longer even... It's like having that horrible breakup conversation with someone that you weren't even dating and, in fact, are not even friends with.
Yeah.
So,
but she sent home the biggest catch of the entire show, maybe of any season.
He's still out there for the rest of us now.
Guys, he's probably so rich, and
yeah.
he seems so nice... Sorry, we're talking about
he
John.
He likes to cook.
John from
we're talking
Venmo.
About John from Venmo. So the roses go to Garrett, Jason, Wills, Lincoln, Leo, Connor, and Chris. Last rose, but that means John is going home.
John was really sweet about it.
Yeah.
I mean, he was never right for this show. He's too nice.
It's not the place where someone, I feel like he was literally just like, this is something crazy I could do now that I
yeah.
have money and
right.
I don't have to like go
work.
To work every
yeah.
day.
Yeah, totally.
Why not? I'm single. I could
right.
just like go on The Bachelorette.
I feel like he's going to thrive.
Yeah, no, I definitely think so. I mean, also, I mean, I wonder if he, I think that the gender imbalance in Silicon Valley is rough,
mm-hmm.
but now he's got exposure
yeah,
to a broad
and also
table.
Like, women are like, oh, yeah, you, like, are a software engineer? Like, like, dime a dozen, whatever. And then now it's like there are all these women around America who are like, oh, my God, like, I use Venmo.
This is John. John uses Venmo.
Yeah.
So we get some great credits of Jordan getting ready for the date, and that's kind of the end of the episode. He is our last taste of Jordan. He got a facial before the two-on-one, his first one in a while. He irons his outfit. Being a modern man is all about being approachable, flirty, charming.
God, if I ever have to see his face again,
it's
I'm
not
so
all about being handsome.
Glad.
It's about skincare. It's about
He's
hair
gone.
Care. It's about fashion. It's about picking the right outfit.
The group left is like pretty normal, except for Lincoln.
Yeah,
and then obviously like we don't know really what's up with Garrett.
Right. I mean,
and then obviously, like, we don't know whether what's going on with Colton. Okay. So the group is not great.
Most of the ones who are left, like, kind of suck, but in ways that are more expected for me.
They're not as bad as the other guys.
I mean, Garrett, I think, is like probably kind of a bad person. I think Chris seems like kind of a bad person. Lincoln, we're pretty sure, is a bad
Definitely
person.
Definitely a bad person.
Leo, we know, like, nothing about.
Leo's
Jason,
literally just there for color commentary
yeah.
and color aesthetic, obviously.
Which sometimes hits the mark, and sometimes I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Leo, why did you say that?
Jason seems fine.
Yeah.
I don't have a comment about him.
I have, like, a bad feeling about him, but I think it might just be left over from the fact that I think he looks like...
Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the only... I think Connor is maybe kind of a bad person.
Yep.
Not feeling great about Colton. So that really
yeah.
just leaves like Blake and Wills.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. I keep forgetting about Wills, my golden boy.
Yeah. Well, he's going to be set free, I think, at the end of the show for some like wonderful woman like us to,
yeah.
to date.
Is
I
it
mean,
me?
Not like us. Maybe.
Hey. No.
It could be.
That was a joke, just to be clear.
Marriage is just a piece of paper, as they say. As is Elise. Any predictions for next week? They're going to Virginia for lovers.
Yeah, boring. Also, Richmond. what?
I feel like I've been to Richmond.
Well, I feel like the promo for next week was not very heavy on next week, and it was very heavy on the rest of the season, and the promo for the rest of the season was just like a zillion I love yous.
Yeah, everyone is saying I love you to Becca.
Yeah. I mean, good for her.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're in love with her.
No,
but good for her. It feels nice to hear.
Yeah, next week, it didn't really seem...
It looks like there's going to be a fake political debate, which I thought was a wild choice of date.
Yeah.
Because we see Chris just, like, going...
I mean, he's definitely going to go home next week, right?
I mean, I don't see how
she gave him his one
there.
Shot, and, like, that's it. Yeah. Or she actually gave him, like, 5 shots this episode, but...
He needs to lay low like Connor did.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't hear from Connor again.
Mm-hmm.
Wills is kind of creeping up for me. I think he might make it to Final Four.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah, it'd be great for all of us.
As much as anything on this show could be really cool.
He's just so warm and like, I feel like he brings a nice warm energy to the screen.
I mean, I will say personally for me, it's important that Colton continue to have screen time. So I'm just going to put that energy out there in the world.
Right.
But
yeah,
it needs to be more interesting than what I got this week. Because
I
want to
see his athleticism play more of a role
in
his storyline for you.
Thank
mainly.
You. Thank you. I appreciate your support.
Well, we'll see what happens. I can't wait for next week. It feels so good to be back in the States.
I know. You must just be like filled with energy.
Just fully. Yeah. I rested and I relaxed and I walked 7 miles a day. And now I'm just ready to watch The Bachelorette forever. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It was so nice to be invited back.
Yeah. Come back anytime. Maybe next time Emma will be here. But no guarantees. We basically live separate lives at this point. It's time for Feminism Fails, and for me this week it was all about Chris, who was not very respectful of Becca this episode. For example, let's talk about when he came to get extra time with her and she refused, and he just wouldn't take no for an answer, and finally appealed to the other guy in the scenario to get permission to hang out with Becca. She doesn't want to hang out with you. Show a little respect. I'm going to give that a 3 because he's pissing me off. Also, he said that Becca owed him 50,000 kisses, which I get was a joke, but is just a gross thing to say. So I'm going to also give that a 3. Chris needs to really pull his shit together next week. And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to my intrepid guest co-host, Kate Dries. Here to Make Friends is produced by Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson. So thank you to both of them. Please, if you love Here to Make Friends as much as we do, find us on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and give us a rating so you never miss a podcast. We are also on Facebook and Instagram, so you can like us there. We're both on Twitter and Instagram individually. I'm at Claire E. Fallon, and Emma is at Emma Lady Rose. Or you can send us an email at heretomakefriends@huffpost.com. Both of us will be back next week, so don't miss it.
Oh, one thing I really did like that Colton said last night was he did this like long extended analogy about Jordan and David being like two rams butting up against each other.
Yeah.
It was like he must have like read it in a children's book like yesterday. You could just tell he was really
proud
of himself.
That was the most intelligent thing I've ever heard Colton say. And I'd been writing down things like Colton is as dumb as a box of veneers and all this stuff. And then like he said that one long analogy and it ended with that great kicker about how if they kept doing that, they're both going to fall off the mountain. And I was like, Colton.
You got it, bud.
That was brilliant. If it's not a children's book, then he should write it.
Yeah.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards. Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.